All right. So for those of you on the phone, we're here at the 2009 Fuel Ethanol Workshop. My name is Nathan Schock, the Director of Public Relations for POET. And I have with me here today our Chief Executive Officer, Jeff Broin, who will be making a couple of announcements regarding our company's progress on cellulosic ethanol. Jeff has some short prepared remarks, and then we will take questions afterwards. Just for the sake of the people on the phone, questions will come first from the people in the room. Then we will move to the phone if there's still time. And I'd like to limit the questions at the first to the announcement today, and then if we have time later, we can get into some other issues. So with that, Jeff.
Thank you, Nathan, and thanks to all the members of the press that are here today. As someone who started out working in and on ethanol plants, I always enjoy coming to the Fuel Ethanol Workshop to hear about the latest technical advances in the industry. This is an industry that never holds still. We continually push the boundaries of technological innovation, seeking to make the ethanol production process better and more efficient. It's one of those technological advances that I'm here to talk to you about today. For 21 years, POET has been a leading producer of ethanol from cornstarch. Today, we are the largest producer of biofuels in the world, with just over 1.5 billion gallons of ethanol production capacity. And while we have just scratched the surface of what we're capable of doing with the corn kernel, POET is also poised to lead the drive to produce cellulosic ethanol. After years of research and development, we started up our pilot cellulosic plant last year in Scotland, South Dakota, using corn cobs as a feedstock. We continue to make great strides in scaling up that technology to commercial scale in Project Liberty, which will produce 25 million gallons of cellulosic ethanol per year in Emmitsburg, Iowa. We've hit all of our targets at the pilot plant and are on schedule to start commercial production in 2011. While much of the public discussion of cellulosic ethanol has been focused on the process of turning plant material into ethanol, we've also made some exciting developments in other key areas of the production chain. The first is the power source for the facility itself. POET recently installed an anaerobic digester in our pilot cellulosic facility. This digester is using liquid waste from the cellulosic ethanol process to produce methane gas, which displaces natural gas. This waste from corn cobs has never before been used as a feedstock in this way, and our researchers are working hard to optimize the process so it can be successfully installed at Project Liberty. The digester, when combined with utilizing the solid waste from the process, will produce enough energy to power not only the entire cellulosic ethanol plant, but also to supply much of the energy needs for the grain-based ethanol plant as well. So our production of renewable fuel will, in the process, also create renewable energy for two facilities. This has incredible positive implications for the future of ethanol production from both grain and cellulose. It's yet another example of how each year our industry is even more efficient and friendly to the environment than it was the year before. Those who seek to make an apples-to-apples comparison of the greenhouse gas emissions from ethanol and gasoline miss an important point, because the emissions from ethanol are renewable. The only greenhouse gas emissions we have are the non-renewable energy it takes to produce and transport the product. But as ethanol production moves to using renewable energy and the trucks and tractors to using renewable fuels and the fertilizers come from renewables, our greenhouse gas emissions could eventually reach zero. Are we there yet? No, and we have a ways to go. But this is an important step on that journey, and I won't stop until we get there. POET won't stop until we eliminate the use of fossil fuels at all of our plants. Another key step in the production chain is the logistics of harvesting the cellulosic feedstock, in our case, corn cobs. Feedstock is such an important part of the cellulosic ethanol process that today we are announcing the creation of an entirely new division, POET Biomass. POET Biomass will focus on collecting and managing the supply chain for corn cobs. It will also handle logistics for waste wood and engineered fuels as alternative power sources. Additionally, POET Biomass will be responsible for identifying any future feedstocks for cellulosic ethanol production. This division will be led by POET's Vice President of Commercial Development, Scott Weiser. A sustainable, accessible feedstock is absolutely crucial to commercializing this process. At POET, we're confident in our model, which uses the existing grain infrastructure to take an agricultural waste product and turn it into ethanol. Corn cobs alone have the potential to supply another 5 billion gallons of ethanol per year for our nation, while giving farmers an entirely new revenue stream from their existing land. Over the next 20 years, as we double the amount of grain that we produce in this country, based on projections by Monsanto and DuPont, that'll be 10 billion gallons from corn cobs alone, from one source of cellulose, just from corn cobs. So the potential for that one source is very large. As we continue our research and development, we look forward to many new ways to further improve the efficiency of both grain-based and cellulosic ethanol production. Ethanol is the only available alternative fuel that improves our environment, increases our national security, and strengthens our economy by replacing high pollution fossil fuels. Thank you. And now I'd be happy to open up for questions.
The port biomass, that's only going to be focused on logistics of collecting the cobs, or will we do other things?
It's really four things.
Let me just repeat it for those on the phone line. Okay. The question was, will poet biomass be focused simply on logistics or other things?
Actually, poet biomass is really working in four areas: the collection, transport, storage, and delivery. So really the entire supply chain of biomass to facilities.
Will it be just poet facilities, or are you doing it for other companies as well?
We are starting with poet facilities, and we'll be expanding to do this for others in the future.
Any other questions from the audience here? Yes.
With the anaerobic digester, do you anticipate you'd be using other feedstocks for that besides the waste from the cellulose plant? Is that going to be enough power?
The question is the anaerobic digester, will it be simply from the cobs as the feedstock or other sources?
The feedstock will actually be the liquid waste from the cob to ethanol process. We'll combine that with also burning the byproduct from the cellulosic plant, which is the lignin, the remainder, and those two sources will provide a significant amount of energy to both the grain based and the cellulosic plant. They'll be co-located. That's one of the big synergies about this process, is that co-location of plants. By co-locating those plants, we not only can get the feedstock off the same acres, but we can reuse energy in both facilities.
Can you talk a little bit about the requirements you will have for farmers in terms of storage or collection procedures, and also how you will price the cobs? Will you purchase them on a long-term contract? How do you anticipate
the equipment? Thanks, Dan. The question had to do with the farmer's role in collecting cobs and the pricing and contract structure.
We have been working on this for several years already in the Emmitsburg area. We actually collected significant volumes of cobs. We are developing the processes, and we have machinery or the actual equipment suppliers are working on the equipment as well. So the farmer obviously plays a very critical role in this, and we are working on the plans to ramp up to full-scale production there. What was the second part of the question?
How will you purchase the cobs? What kind of pricing opportunities will you offer?
Okay, again, as far as how we're going to purchase the cobs, that is actually in development today. Obviously, in the early plants, we'll have to have some term contracts, we believe, to actually incentivize farmers to do this. And the government is definitely supporting us with some provisions in the Farm Bill that will aid us in attracting farmers to this venture.
So, just to clarify, there is a plan to use a solid fuel boiler system in the cellulosic plant as well.
The question is, will there be a solid fuel boiler in addition to the anaerobic digester?
And then, the second part of the question, sorry to interrupt you, are there going to be other feedstocks as well into the solid fuel boiler besides just the lignin?
The question was, will there be a solid fuel boiler? Yes, there will be a solid fuel boiler in the process. It will utilize the lignin. Will there be other feedstock streams? There certainly could be. Today we operate one solid fuel boiler that actually runs on wood chips, as well as, in some cases, corn cobs. We also are looking at some landfill waste for that. So we have multiple streams we can feed into these boilers. They're not exclusive to one feedstock. So it certainly is possible. Today we're looking at burning the lignin. We could burn more things in the future.
The poet plant in Emmitsburg will require what kind of radius to get the cobs, the power 25 million gallons?
The question is, how far out from the Emmitsburg plant do we have to go to get cobs? What's the radius?
It's our goal to get the cobs within a 20-mile radius of the plant. In the early years, we may have to go a little bit further than that, possibly out as far as 35 miles. But we think long-term, once the technology is adapted, it could come from as little as a 20-mile radius of the facility.
Besides biogas, are there any other byproducts from the anaerobic digestion that are going to be used?
The anaerobic digester does produce biogas, as well as the effluent that's left, which it would be treated and turned into basically clean water for release.
I don't know, it's a technical question, maybe Mark needs to answer this, but the biogas itself, is it all methane or is it only a portion of methane? Do you know?
That's a good technical question, Mark. You might want to answer that one. I believe it's basically methane.
Do we only get methane from the biogas, or is there other things?
Yeah, at this time, biogas is what we're producing in the methane digester, and that'll be used directly in the facility itself. So that's our first target.
Well, with that, I think we'll go ahead and open it up to the phone for questions.
The conference is now in talk mode.
If you'd like to ask a question, please state your name and would ask it, at least at first, that the questions only pertain to the announcement of today. Thanks.
This is Beth Evans from Platt. I know you said that you were on track to start your cellulosic ethanol in Iowa by 2011. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on whether or not you think cellulosic production will hit the target for 2010 here in the state?
Quite frankly, we are targeting 2011. There is one challenge the industry has that I think you all need to be aware of, and that is, we mentioned it yesterday, obviously, and that is the blend wall. You know, today we have a cap on ethanol, basically a 10% on the U.S. gasoline supply from the Clean Air Act of 1990. We're limited to 10%. We've submitted a waiver to the EPA to move that to 15%. I can assure you that if we don't move that blend wall to 15%, cellulosic ethanol is going to be impossible to finance. So it's very, very important for the future of cellulosic ethanol that we move that blend wall. Today there's a 90% mandate on gasoline, on oil. And if our country is serious about decreasing our reliance on foreign oil and cleaning up our environment, we need to definitely move that blend wall and give ethanol access to more of the market. So that's a critical part of moving this forward. You know, the EPA has until December now to decide, so we're hopeful they'll decide in December, if not sooner, to move that blend wall.
So basically the projects are sort of on hold at this point until they know? Just trying to figure out how 2010 is going to be met.
Well, we are certainly talking to lenders, we always have met we basically have met the RFS as an industry. In fact, we've exceeded it every year that we've had a renewable fuel standard amount, but today the blend wall does stand in the way, and the blend wall is certainly a challenge to reaching the goals of the RFS for cellulosic ethanol. We need to move the blend wall.
Thank you very much.
This is Dan Thornton, Point Register. Just for clarification, will you be picking up harvesting cobs for the plant this fall for this harvest, this year's harvest? And also, are there any plans to enter into like leasing agreements with farmers or some kind of agreements to help them
Are we going to harvest cobs this fall? Yes, we are. We've harvested cobs the last 2 years. We'll be harvesting again this fall, and it'll be a percentage of what we'll use in the future, a small percentage, but we've got roughly 40 farmers in the local area. They've already signed up. We have people that are ready to collect those cobs, so we're very excited about that. As far as the equipment, we are working with the Department of Energy to find ways to assist farmers in purchasing the equipment, in lowering their upfront costs, as well as there is in the Energy Title of the Farm Bill some help, where farmers will receive some extra payments for the government and the first couple of plants that are built in this country to spur the farmers to move forward with this investment. But it's important that farmers take this very seriously. It's a tremendous opportunity for them. They can drive their revenues higher on the farm, obviously by selling a brand new feedstock, We do need to get it in a fairly small radius. We've had great reception in the Emmitsburg area, and we think the farmers will be there for us. But it's important they take this seriously. Cellulosic ethanol is going to be a reality in the future. As long as we can move that blend wall, it will be a reality in the future. And we're very excited about it, and farmers should be as well.
Any other questions from the phone? All right, any others from the audience?
You
can I actually ask an M&A question?
We got one more question, I think, here regarding the announcement, and then we'll come back to the phone for that.
Well, actually, I was going to ask about the flex fuel mandate that several COVID officials have mentioned in talks in the last 24 hours.
The question was about the Open Fuel Standard Act, the FFE mandate. Is that, that's true?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Well, again, if our country is serious about decreasing our reliance on foreign oil, FFEs can be built for around $100 per car. It's an extremely low cost, if not even close to a free option for our nation. And your car, if you have a flex fuel vehicle, you can burn either ethanol or gasoline, but it gives you the option to burn either in the case that oil gets very expensive, and in the case that ethanol grows the way we think that it will. So we think an FFE mandate is something that should happen. The U.S. autos have been very proactive in building FFEs and in having very serious goals on FFEs. The imported autos have not. And so the imported autos, when I see them voluntarily do that, because it's obviously a great thing for our country to try to wean ourselves off foreign oil. But the FFE mandate will make all autos get on the same page as far as having goals for flex fuel vehicles. So we're very supportive, obviously.
Okay, we can, any other questions from the phone?
Yes, hi, it's Beth Evans of Platt. Sorry for jumping in earlier. Quick question for you on the overall U.S. ethanol M&A market. At this point, how does the acquisition market look? And if POET decided, and is POET interested, first of all, in making more purchases? And if you decided, could you actually finance that kind of purchase, or are the markets looking a little sketchy at this point?
POET continues to look at all of our options in M&A. We have looked at facilities that have been on the market. We continue to look for the right opportunities for our company. There has been financing available for some of the plants we've looked at, so certainly there is financing out there, and so we'll continue to look at the opportunities that are out there. Obviously, synergy is very important with our existing plants, and so we're looking for the right opportunities.
Are you looking at opportunities just here in the States, or are you looking outside this country?
So far, we've been looking inside the United States.
Thank you.
Just some reasons for that. We believe that it's, we believe in investing in America. We believe in putting Americans to work, taking the surplus grain we have in this country and the surplus cellulose we have in this country and creating renewable fuels from it. We think there's a tremendous potential in the future. Grain yields are projected to double over the next 20 years. Just as we've had surplus grain for the last 40 years, we're going to have surplus grain again for the next 20 years. We also are going to have large volumes of cellulose. As we raise those yields, you also raise the cellulose on those same acres. So we're very excited about the future of ethanol. And I think that it's going to be a very bright future as we look forward.
One of the things that Bob Dineen mentioned at the Rio conference was the potential for U.S. exports of ethanol, and he was talking about different markets. What are POET's thoughts on that? Are you guys exporting anything outside the country right now?
Not currently. Certainly, we look at those opportunities. To date, there have not been, financially, it's not been viable to export a lot of ethanol to the country. It certainly is a possibility for the future.
Thank you.
I think we maybe have time for one more question from the phone.
Jeff, Tom Gaber-Kavich for the Argus. How important is it going forward with the cellulosic ethanol to have that government support?
Government support for cellulosic ethanol is critical. We are obviously we're trying to move away from oil in this country as quickly as possible. The government being involved in a brand new technology like this, obviously it's difficult to finance. We've got a lot of learning to do. We've been learning a lot. We've got some more learning to do. And government assistance is just going to ramp up the time frame in which we can get to cellulosic ethanol. So it's critical. And of course, The government's also involved through things like the blend wall. So we need there an indirect land use change, which is another issue that we're talking about right now. So the government government policy is critical to this industry moving forward. And obviously, we're doing a lot of talking with our friends in Washington on that issue, those issues.
Okay, I think with that, thank you all for being on the call. The news releases should be in your inbox, and there's a photo of the anaerobic digester that's installed at our facility on our website. You can access it there. If you need anything else, feel free to contact Matt Merritt or myself.